Today's show is sponsored by Talkspace, the online therapy company. For a fraction of the price of traditional therapy, you can pick an experienced, licensed therapist you relate to and feel comfortable with. Each and every therapist has at least a master's degree and has completed over 3,000 hours of supervised work. To match with your perfect therapist, go to Talkspace.com/boom. And to show your support for this podcast, use code BOOM to get $30 off your first month. That's BOOM, Talkspace.com/boom, B-O-O-M.
Welcome to the first ever edition of the Locked On Heat podcast, formerly known as the Heat Check, presented by the Heat Check. I don't really know what to say, but we've switched names. We've switched networks. I'm Wes Goldberg. With me, as always, it's David Ramil. How are you feeling today, David?
I'm doing great, Wes. Very excited about this brand new, awesome opportunity to talk Heat basketball.
So, for those of you not keeping up, this is the first episode of Locked On Heat, which is not much different than the Heat Check. For those that have listened to the Heat Check, first of all, thank you, right, from the bottom of our hearts.
Absolutely.
We appreciate you for coming along on the ride for these last couple of years, I guess, and just sticking with us and dealing with us, talking about Heat basketball and the NBA in general. And for those that have been listening, not much is going to change other than the fact that now you get a podcast basically every day of the week, 5 days a week. For those of you that are new, welcome. Glad to have you here. We talk about the Heat all the time now, and I think we're pretty much the best at it, so you've come to the right place if you're a Heat fan.
Absolutely. And even if you're not, this is definitely the best place to listen to all things Miami Heat related.
That's right. So if you're not a Heat fan, I don't really know what you're doing with your life, but also welcome to the show, I guess. I don't really know why you're listening.
They're seeking guidance, and we're here to provide it.
Right. We'll convince you otherwise. If you're a Hawks fan just trying to figure out what to do after Al Horford signed with the Celtics and they're trading Paul Millsap and Jeff Teague's gone and all these things, you should just be a Heat fan. If you're not a Hawks fan and you're like a Jazz fan, you might have Dwayne Wade soon, so maybe this serves some purpose for you. But we'll get into all of that. I don't know. Did I cover everything? If you're a Heat Check fan, you obviously maybe know that you don't have to resubscribe to Locked On Heat. Your feed should just transfer over. It's going to be much of the same stuff, but you're just going to get a podcast every day, so that should be a good thing.
Absolutely. It should be. Let's hope that it actually is.
Yeah, they might get sick of us, but we'll see. But this is very exciting. I think just I've been kind of satirical and trying to be a little humble about it, but this is honestly a very exciting time for us, right? This is a big opportunity for us, and we hope that everybody that's been listening keeps listening, and all of our new listeners, we do welcome with open arms. This is a really big step for us, and we're really excited to do it and talk about the Heat every day. I mean, this is basically what we do all the time. Now we just record it.
Absolutely. And it's been an exciting time. There's always something to talk about, especially now during this particular moment in the NBA season with free agency at full swing. So many changes left and right. So much has happened to the Heat in particular, and so let's just get right to it.
Yeah, so first of all, this all kind of stems from Kevin Durant's decision to go sign with the Warriors, which enough people have broken down. We don't really have to get too deep into it. Dwayne Wade, though, is still a free agent, and the Heat were going after Kevin Durant. Durant's decision to sign anywhere basically means elsewhere other than the Heat means that the Heat now have to turn their attention to signing Dwayne Wade. Dwayne Wade's a free agent. It's not a foregone conclusion that Wade's going to re-sign, and I think a lot of people within the Heat organization, from what we're hearing, hope to sign, like Hassan Whiteside is the number one priority, and they got that done. You know, even before Durant made his decision, when Pat Riley went out and said that's our top priority, he was speaking the truth. I mean, we kind of saw Whiteside and Durant as priorities 1A and 1B, but I think signing Whiteside was really 1 and Durant was 2, if given by the timeline of events. And they went after Durant with Whiteside under contract. Wade was not under contract at the time of the meeting, and still is not. And Durant has chosen to go with the Warriors. So now the Heat basically have to turn to Wade, who is, in many regards, the best free agent available in general. And that's kind of added an interesting wrinkle to all this, because there's so much money being thrown around with the spiked cap right now that teams see Wade as the best free agent available. He's not just the guy that was just going to re-sign with the Heat. There's so much money to spend that they can offer him a substantial amount of money. So teams like the Nuggets and the Bulls have come out of the woodwork here and are reportedly offering Wade more money than the Heat can even offer right now, which is kind of surprising and puts the Heat in an interesting predicament right now. And that's what all of Heat Nation is looking at right now and basically what we're going to talk about on this podcast.
I think, you know, clearly Kevin Durant was the biggest name. Maybe you could put him at 1A or 1B to LeBron James, but LeBron was always expected to return back to Cleveland. He said as much, and although no formal agreement or contract terms have been released, you assume that he's going to return to Cleveland.
Right.
Having said that, you know, Kevin Durant has made his decision, like you pointed out, to join the Warriors. And so no one, again, expected Dwayne Wade to be on the open market, but yet here we are. And as you pointed out, Whiteside being the top priority for Miami, the reports are that Wade has been slighted, possibly by an offer made to Wade's camp by Pat Riley for 1 year, $10 million. I think that was reported by the Vertical's Adrian Wojnarowski.
Right. It was a 2 year, $20 million, but the second year had an opt-out clause. So essentially, yeah, 1 year, $10 million. Because okay. He would have certainly opted out of that after the first year. Because next year, the cap spikes again.
Right.
And we should just hash out all the news right now. So Adrian Wojnarowski has recently reported a 2 year, $20 million opt-out clause after the first season, like you just said. Brian Windhorst is saying that Wade is seeking $50 million over 2 years. And Woj also noted that Wade is seeking a third year, a guaranteed year in that third year. So now we're looking, if you kind of combine both of those reports, Woj's report and Windhorst's report, is Wade seeking $25 million a year for 3 years guaranteed?
That seems to be the case.
That's what I think, right? That's the feeling we're getting.
Right.
And,
but they have upped their offer. What's on the table right now is a 2 year $40 million deal. Okay.
So
they doubled their offer basically from $10 million a year to $20 million a year, and he's choosing to hold off on that. And so there have been, as there was back in 2014 with LeBron, now there have been a lot of different potential rumors, people tracking potential flights from Italy or Spain, where I think Wade was vacationing with LeBron James and family members, and tracking a plane that may have left from there, a private plane that left from there to Fort Lauderdale Airport and then potentially to Cleveland. A tweet from said luxury jetliner thanking Dan Gilbert, LeBron James, and Dwayne Wade for using their service. So there's a lot of intrigue, rumor, innuendo. You don't know what's trolling or what's not. If you remember back in 2014, as we all do, the cupcake person, the lawn guy, the barber who worked outside of James's house, you know, claiming that he was going to return. And sure enough, those things wound up working out the way they, you know, said they did. So now I guess there is a great deal of concern. And as we talked about before, you know, Ethan Skolnick from the Miami Herald has talked about the fact that this is something to be taken seriously. Like, we've assumed in the past that Wade, as he did last year, even as he did in 2014, was going to bluff his way a little bit, kind of try and get as much money as possible, but that eventually he'd re-sign with Miami. This seems like the most realistic possibility that he might actually be considering offers to go elsewhere.
And you mentioned Skolnick there, and he does believe that this is different than last season.
Right.
You and I have talked about this before offline, that this is, oh, you know, this is probably just posturing. We've went through this already last year. I mean, there was a significant amount of time last season. Remember last year, it was LaMarcus Aldridge was the number one free agent, and the Heat had a meeting with LaMarcus Aldridge. Now, Aldridge is not Durant, but he was still the top free agent pretty much of last year's class. And the Heat had a meeting with him, and they didn't sign him. So that very much is similar to the Durant situation. And then afterwards, they signed Wade, but it took a while. And eventually, they settled on essentially a one-year, $20 million contract. And so a lot of Heat fans are viewing this, again, as Wade taking meeting with the Nuggets and the Bucks and the Bulls and kind of, you know, those rumors being out there is being seen as Wade posturing in order to get the most money possible from the Heat. But really, the most money that the Heat can offer this season, this offseason, is $20 million. They can't really offer any more than that. Maybe they can offer, I think they have like $22 or $23 million in cap space, but that's to fill out the entire roster. So that $20 million that they're offering is really the maximum that they can offer. So now there's reports that maybe they're trying to trade Josh McRoberts in order to free up another $5 or $6 million in order to up Wade's salary from last year. Because if you look at last season, right? Or let's go two summers back. Let's even go further. Wade signs a $20 million contract for the 2015-16 season. But before that, he was coming off of an injury-plagued season. His numbers weren't fantastic. The Heat kind of sputtered out. The Heat didn't even make the playoffs, you know? Like, they were in the lottery, for God's sake. So for Wade to get a one-year $20 million offer was pretty substantial. And a lot of people saw that as overpaying for Wade, but the Heat had to do it to keep him, right? That's kind of how the narrative went. But then he comes back. He plays 74 of 82 games, averages almost 20 points a game, has a terrific playoff series, two terrific playoff series, and very much looks like the springy vintage Wade, so to speak, that we experienced all last season. And so you add that to the cap hike of almost $20 million for every team, you know, for the spiked salary cap. And the Heat are essentially offering Wade the same salary as last season, $20 million a year. You could see why Wade would be like, no, I deserve a raise of at least $5 million a year. So in that respect, I understand where Wade's coming from.
Well, there's always been that, you know, okay, first of all, there's always the ego that drives so many of the players, and every player in the NBA. You know, we assume sometimes, or we tend to forget sometimes, that with every scrub, that 12th guy on the bench, that there is no ego there. But the reality is, they get to this high level, there's got to be ego, and that's just understood, and it should be. I mean, that's how they get to the highest level of professional basketball. Having said that, there's also the fact that he's never been the highest paid player on a team, and that has to be some kind of a sticking point for him. I mean, that year in and year out, they've always made everybody a priority over him. That first, when he was a rookie on a great rookie deal, Shaquille O'Neal was the highest paid player on the team. Following that, it was Jermaine O'Neal, if you can believe it. Then it was LeBron and Chris Bosh. Now it's Bosh. Even Hassan Whiteside is getting paid more than him. And this is a guy who's just basically put in a year and a half of decent service to Miami. And already he's become not just the top priority in free agency, but the highest paid player on the team, or the second highest paid player behind Bosh. That's got to be some kind of an insult to him. And I know we're talking about from a fan's perspective, you know, how can the guy be insulted to get paid $20 million a year? Well, you know, let's forget about that. It's all relative. This is the world of the NBA, where a guy like Dwayne Wade, the third best shooting guard in NBA history, a top player, you know, possibly one of the top 50, 100 players to ever play the game, you know, deserves to get paid, at least as far as what market value is concerned. You can't
top
say
30,
should,
way,
you know,
top
what's
30
worth.
All time.
Top 30 all time? That's a conversation for another podcast. But wow, that's
I just want to throw that in there.
Strong
we'll talk
statement
about it another
pod.
I just wanted to throw that in there.
So there's so much to break down now. And then, of course, once you start hearing, I mean, what we're seeing now from fans and on Twitter, and you probably can break it down just as well, you know, there's so much speculation. We don't know what's going on. People have turned on Wade. People have turned on Riley. What to make of it? You know, is Wade right in choosing a more expensive deal? Is he being, as some have claimed, a diva? Has Riley gone after one too many whales? Is he, you know, strangely enough or ironically, Captain Ahab in his pursuit of Durant? Has he forgotten the lives of the crew that have gone with him year in and year out? I mean, that's a great metaphor, but it's so funny that he pointed out that there was a whale to hunt, and it might be the reason for his ultimate demise or failure as a general manager, not being able to lock in Dwayne Wade. Or do you think that this is all just completely overblown, that he's still chilling in Ibiza somewhere with Gabriel Union, and that there's no reason for us to be concerned? He's just, like you said, posturing from his agent perhaps, and he'll just wind up re-signing here at a high number, higher than what we expected, and everything's cool and copacetic between him and the franchise.
No, I think there is a real reason for us to be concerned here. I mean, this cap has changed everything. I mean, John Lohr is getting $10 million a season right now. I mean,
sure.
Like, that's insane. And there's players that are making, I mean, Joakim Noah, who is basically broken down and washed at this point, $18 million a year.
Well, I mean, our own starting small forward, Luol Deng, I think we talked about his potential cap number. It was going to be, we were hoping it would be around $10 million, maybe as high as $15. He got $18 million from the Lakers.
I mean, the money is just insane. So you see Dwayne Wade, who by the way, fancies himself a businessman, right? Like, that's a major thing here, is seeing all this money going around. He he thinks that he's very good at business, and he's proven that he is a businessman. I mean, this guy is a multi-dimensional person. He's not just a basketball player. He's got a fashion line. He's involved in a lot of different things, a shoe deal. He's involved in a lot of different things. He doesn't want to take a flat salary. He wants a raise. And given that the season he just had, where he quote-unquote bounced back, and maybe is going into this extra leg of his career, maybe an extra prime, so to speak, or quasi-prime, so to speak, probably believes that he deserves a raise, and you can't really blame him. I think there is a real concern here, and I kind of keep going and thinking, maybe it is time for him to move on, because I think you're right. Pat Riley is, in the Heat, have almost taken him for granted, and it's sad to say, and you look at the timing of so many players being able to be a free agent this summer when the cap spikes, or even a free agent next summer when the cap spikes once again. And Wade's just never been able to take advantage of that timing, almost. And he's taken advantage of timing in other ways. For example, 2010, when he was able to pair up with LeBron and Chris Bosh. That was a different sort of thing, wasn't salary. But I think that Wade is in the twilight of his career, in the last leg of his tour, so to speak. Even though he can still play, he's not going to play for that much longer. There's a certain sense where you get the most money you can now, because he's never going to make as much money as he's going to make in these next few years, be it 2, 3, 4 years. He's never going to make this much money per year ever again in his life, probably, right? Like, you can almost figure that. And but so, go ahead.
No other team can possibly offer as much money as Miami, though.
Well, apparently the Nuggets can offer more. So, and I want
but they're
to go
not
back to this
going point. To extend a 3-year contract offer to Dwayne Wade.
Would they not?
Do you think they would? I mean,
with the money
the Nuggets
being spent right now, I mean, Tyler Johnson might sign a 4-year, $50 million deal.
That's fine. I totally see that point, but I'm not sure that Denver thinks it's realistic to extend a 3-year offer to Dwayne Wade for $20+ million.
But we're not sure that they don't. And that's, okay. And I guess we can go back to Ethan Skolnick's report that the Heat are almost in the middle somewhere, because the Nuggets might be willing to offer them the most money, or more than $20 million a season at least. And the Cavaliers can't offer a lot. They could basically offer the mid-level exception, which is not even $4 million, but offer the opportunity to compete for a championship, to play with LeBron, his best friend, essentially. So the Heat are somewhere in the middle, and, you know, the Heat are familiar to him. They can offer more money than the Cavs, but they're kind of right there in the middle of all of it. Does Dwayne Wade see the Cavaliers and is like, look, I've only got a few more years left. I've made a lot of money. I am going to continue to make money because I'm a businessman, and I'm going to do something after basketball. This isn't going to be it for me. I'm going to try to win a couple more championships. And in that sense, maybe he joins LeBron in Cleveland. Or maybe he says the opposite. I'm just going to go make as much money as I can because I only have a few seasons in the NBA left, and I'm going to go sign with the Nuggets. The Heat are kind of in this middle ground here. And yeah, if they trade Josh McRoberts, they can offer maybe up to $25 million a year. I don't know. And from everything that's being reported, the relationship between Wade and the Heat has been damaged. And that in itself is something to be concerned about. And that kind of leads me to my next question. You look at Kobe Bryant and the way the Lakers treated him. They gave him the farewell tour. And you've talked about it on this podcast. How Wade kind of wants that farewell tour almost. And that also kind of limited what the Lakers could do roster-wise and flexibility-wise and how to build their team. It kind of just made them stationary until Kobe retired. And when Kobe retired, it kind of freed them to go and do more things, such as sign Timofey Mozgov and Luol Deng. Are you concerned, number one, about the Heat's relationship and Wade's relationship? And number two, should the Heat just give Wade what he wants, even if it kind of limits what they could do flexibility-wise with the roster, to keep Wade in Miami and let him play out the rest of his career with the Heat?
I am concerned. I think that, you know, things have gone pretty heated and ugly, I think was Skolnick's term for it. There is frustration from both parties. I guess Riley had hoped to lock something up a little bit more cheaply and be able to have a little extra money to toss around at some potential free agents to fill out the rest of the roster. And from Wade's part, you know, he wants to be locked up to a third year to end his career with the same team that he's played for. But he's choosing between money and or the possibility of playing with LeBron James, his friend. And so there's a lot to go on, or to remain, not loyal, but let's say remain with the, just remain with the franchise that drafted him. So there's a lot going on there. And as far as whether or not the Heat should sign him to a long-term deal, I'm torn. There are times where I think to myself, you know what, let him walk. If he's going to hold the franchise hostage like this the way Bryant did, then maybe it's best for everybody for him to just move. But the reality is the Heat are already locked into deals with Whiteside, or they will be. They're locked into deals with Chris Bosh, who may not be able to play out the rest of his contract because his health is still a major concern. They're still locked into a deal with Goran Dragic for the next 3 years as well. So there's already so much money committed to those four players. They're not going to be able to build the team if Wade leaves anyway. They're already going to have, I mean, they're going to have a little bit more money available to toss, but they're not going to be able to procure a superstar level player because they've already got the core of their team. These three players that are under contract for a significant amount of money. So if you're going to do that, you might as well just pay Wade the money and secure the fan base, compete for a, you know, early round exit in the playoffs every year in and year out until all three of those players retire, or at least until those contracts end, or until you find somebody willing to take on Goran Dragic's contract, perhaps, because I don't think any of the other players are worth trading at this point. So there's just, from that's my perspective, I think you might as well just pay Wade, lock him up, and continue to push forward, enjoying the roster as it's currently comprised.
That's a good point, because when the Lakers locked up Kobe, they basically had Kobe and a bunch of young guys. And they kind of like, okay, we're going to lock up Kobe, let him do his farewell tour while trying to develop these young guys. For the Heat, it's different. They don't, I mean, yeah, they have Justice Winslow, Josh Richardson, but they also have Dragic and Chris Bosh. And they have some veterans with some young guys. They have a good balance, I guess. So, I don't know. And plus, I mean, the Warriors just signed Kevin Durant, for God's sakes. Like, who's really beating the Warriors? I mean, are the Heat, even with Wade, a championship contender? Can they even beat LeBron right in order to get into the NBA Finals? I mean, I don't know. Who knows what Hassan Whiteside's ceiling is? But for right now, I think the odds are against them, most
absolutely
certainly. And so all of that combined, just, I think you're right. Just play this thing out. Give Wade what he wants. I think Wade comes around. I really do. I obviously don't have any real information, but if it's between $25 million with the Nuggets and $20 million with the Heat, I still think he just re-signs with the Heat. My problem is, these are the last few years of Wade's career, right? And I just don't want this to be a year-to-year thing. I don't want this to add some sour spot to the relationship between Wade and the Heat. Like, you just don't want that, especially towards the end of the career. You don't want that to kind of be this sort of stain on what we all remember. We don't want the fans to be even worrying about this every summer. At some point you just say, just sign him for the rest of his career. Let him play it out. We've already committed, the Heat organization is already committed to Wade in some fashion. So just play it out. I mean, it went in the big grand scheme of things, it's maybe 3 years until he retires.
Yeah. So, yeah, that seems like the point right there, 3 years. Like, you sign him for the next 3 years. It's at that point where Bosch's contract ends. I think Goran Dragic's contract would end. Whiteside will still be in the middle of his deal. But then also the rookies, Richardson and Winslow, will be at the end of their contracts and their rookie contracts, and they'll become restricted free agents that the Heat can then extend an offer to. And so it's the perfect point to just relaunch a new version of Miami's right team in three seasons. So, and another thing to consider, too, is that, you know, we tend to think that a player should always stay with the franchise, and there's going to be this great sense of loyalty from both the front office and the player themselves. But nearly every player has had some kind of a bump in the road when it comes to contract negotiations. I mean, let's not consider a guy like LeBron, who left and came back and is still getting a ton of money from the Cavaliers and will continue to get a ton of money. I mean, even as far back as guys like Magic had frustration with Pat Riley and went through a number of coaches and he was getting paid a lot. You know, Michael Jordan's contract escalated over $30 million a year. And this were, you know, we're talking about 20 years ago, 20 right plus years ago. So,
and
you know, he's always been able
to, like Jordan ended up playing for the Wizards. I mean, that sure wasn't because the Bulls, when he retired and came back and owned the Wizards right and then came back to play for the Wizards. But you even have like a guy even more recent, like Paul Pierce, for example. Paul sure. Pierce will retire as a Celtic. I mean, I think he's on the Clippers now. I'm not even sure. But he will, or is he retired officially? I don't even know. But he's going to
retire. I think he's a free agent. I think he'll probably play another season with the Clippers.
So, and he played for the Nets. But he's going to retire as a Boston Celtic. And even if Wade were to go to the Bulls or the Nuggets or something like that for a couple more seasons, he will retire as a Miami Heat player. Like, that's going to be his lasting legacy. So
even contemporary players like Tim Duncan and Dirk Nowitzki, who have, you know, quote-unquote lifers with their respective teams, they've had numerous issues with contract negotiations. Right. You remember in the early 2000s when Tim Duncan was this close to signing with the Orlando Magic before the Spurs wound up matching him for a huge amount of money. Both those players, you know, they've played longer than Dwayne Wade, but they've made a significant amount of money, more than Wade has over the course of his career. And while you hate to bring up anything, you know, as far as a personal franchise or personal, you know, ties or anything like that, you can't forget the fact that Wade had a very costly divorce a few years ago and has eaten into a significant amount of the money that he's made overall over the course of his career. I mean, a lot of that early earning was split with his ex-wife, and that was a major financial blow. So he's looking to capitalize as much as possible. Yeah, he's got that huge shoe deal and whatever other endorsements he might have. But look, these are guys that are looking to make as much money as possible. That's always been the case, and that will continue to be the case. He's taken hometown discounts before, and maybe he's just at a point where he's not willing to do it. And for now, it's better to just lock him up and have a good, fun team to watch that is not going to compete for a title, when realistically, I don't think anybody's going to be able to compete for a title as long as they have that behemoth in Golden State.
Exactly. So we'll keep covering this topic throughout the week. The Dwayne Wade situation is the number one situation in South Florida right now, at least concerning the Heat. So this has been the first official episode of Locked On Heat. Thank you guys for listening. We'll be back again tomorrow. We'll keep doing these podcasts all week because that's what we do now. Thank you for following us. By the way, we are available on Audio Boom now, part of the Locked On NBA Podcast Network. That's where we are. Also, we are still available on iTunes. Rate us, review us, say nice things about us. And thank you for joining us on the inaugural episode of Locked On Heat. And thank you for joining me, Dave.
You got it, Wes.
All right, we'll talk to you tomorrow.
All my niggas baller. All my niggas athletic. All my niggas A1. All got street cred. All my niggas baller. All them niggas out lit, pulled up in the fountain, pulled off with a dance. Got a pocket full of money, kinda hard to keep my pants up. Nigga tryna run them bands up, fuck a bitch with my hands up. Lil Quay fucked the Zans up, kinda hard to understand her. Duffel bags in the Escalade, caught a bitch there a bread truck. Got a big arm retarded, called over for a spare truck. All these niggas never scared us, all these niggas never ran us. Bitch tryna put the head on her. Niggas tryna put the feds on. Niggas tryna take meds on. Everything for the players on. Niggas singing like Arizona. Gunshot just for saying something.